This call is being recorded.
Okay, I guess I'm the last one to join, so don't need to wait any longer. So I don't have access to IRC. I don't know if we should take notes today or if we just discuss the pull request. Is there anything else you guys would like to discuss?
Yeah, go on, Tomáš.
Just what I wrote in the email, the template, and if ways that we could improve what we do with documentation, so the Git book or whatever alternatives, or what do we want to achieve?
What would you like to start with discussing?
I guess the pull request is the oldest piece, so maybe that first.
Okay, let's start with that one then. I don't know, did you already have a chance to review it, Tomáš?
Well, I reviewed some other time, and honestly, it's grown quite a bit, so I probably kind of lost focus on what's actually going on. So it's hard to be thorough.
Yeah, it's a quite big pull request. Carol basically kind of revamped the whole JSON-LD processing. I really liked the direction he took it, like the API that the client has looks much, much better to me. Like it's really intuitive interface now. So I left a few comments. They're mostly about naming a few things and a few personal preferences, but overall I'm really enthusiastic about this pull request.
Yeah, I noticed that we go very much for the Fluent. I'm just thinking that I wonder if it has an impact on the size of the code base, if it uses some third parties. I didn't look that closely. Or if it's just handcrafted?
As far as I know, it's all handcrafted, but Carol probably knows best.
There's a single base class that actually does the filtering. Everything else is just wrappers on top.
Okay.
In general, do you like how the interface looks, like the Fluent style, Tomáš?
Yeah, I often do the Fluent style stuff myself. So yeah, I do like Fluent interfaces. Works for me.
I guess Carol, mostly for you, like. Is there anything specifically we should discuss about this pull request, or did you have a chance to review the comments, etc., that you got already?
More or less, yes. Actually, I put some answers there. I have nothing specific. I think the only thing that just, but maybe not worries me, just this new feature that is actually completely undocumented. It's this brand new member template thingy.
Mm-hmm. So it worries you that it's undocumented, or the feature itself worries you?
As far as I can remember, the specification does not mention anything like this. I think this is a completely new feature, and this is quite an early use case, and we are already outside of the specification.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's something that I was thinking, and I forgot to mention last time, that when we come up with stuff that's not really specified or something completely new, like member template, what should be the process for us to add stuff and update the specification? I know that you, Marcus, you mentioned that writing the specification, that's not a simple matter of just adding stuff. It has to be properly worded and unambiguous, no. So it's not as simple, right? But for if we've already agreed on the member template, should it be added to the, should we create an issue for at least to add that?
So process-wise, what we normally did is there is a label resolved on GitHub. I normally applied that label to issues where we made a decision but didn't close them till the specification is updated. So there should be an issue for everything we decided, but it's not in a specification yet. But, I mean, if someone volunteers to write a pull request or something, we can obviously update the documentation at any time. I just don't have the time to, you know, really do that myself at the moment, and I personally don't think it's a high priority since everything is kind of in flux anyway. But like, if you would like to go ahead and update the specification, just send a pull request.
Yeah, that's probably another issue for this, for the other topic, in the specification in general. If I just open it, one thing I always struggle is finding the actual link to the specification. It should be at least, oh no, hold on, there, it's linked from the readme.
It's in general, hydrocg.com/spec.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, but it's linked from the repository. That's okay.
Yeah.
So specification. Or maybe we can just wait with this discussion. And first of all, I'd create the issue. But for creating a pull request, I don't know. It feels like the specification is not what do you say? Up to date is one thing, but it's you know, neither very concise nor it kind of tries to give some examples, but also the examples aren't really complete. And on the other hand, so it's like somewhere in between, where I'm not sure which way it should be going. That's why I started. That's why I created that issue with you know, doing some more elaborate documentation with more examples. So something like not necessarily use cases, but more like just a button, you know, very targeted snippets of bits and pieces to have those pieces and then describe how they fit together. That's I'm not sure which way the specification should be going.
So my thinking was that we have those use cases documents now. We kind of use them as working documents. And once we are satisfied with how everything ties together and how the reference client looks like, etc., we take those and transform them into like a properly written specification. But kind of keeping specification and use cases and client implementation in sync with just three or four people regularly attending these calls and like being active in general feels a bit of a stretch to me. I don't know how much time you guys can invest in it, but you know, the development of Heracles has mostly been driven by Carol so far. Use cases by you, Tomáš, and Carol, and a bit of public, and I kind of moved into a mode where I mostly just review things because I just don't have the time to be more active, unfortunately.
Yeah, time is hard. We know that. So,
but in other words, you know, if you have the time, you know, I guess, or I think it's fair to assume that everyone in the group would be more than happy if someone would invest the time. And personally, I would be really happy to see them as well.
I guess that probably the specification should be, but is it specification or is it documentation? Yeah, or is it the same, or are these two different concepts?
Well, you know, you can write a specification in a very formal way, and then pretty much no one will ever read it. Or you put lots of examples in the specification and kind of make it more like a tutorial while still having, you know, the formality there to make it, you know, unambiguous so that people can actually build or implement the specification, etc. I guess in the ideal world, it would be both at the same time, like kind of a tutorial slash documentation and a specification.
Okay.
Which obviously makes it tricky to write it. So, like, at the moment, I personally, you know, don't care too much about the specification because it's basically the four or five of us that work on Hydra constantly. Sure, we sometimes get requests from other people and, you know, it may hinder adoption of Hydra or whatever, but at this stage, I'm mostly interested or mostly focused on getting the actual design kind of, you know, right, and having a client that uses all of the features so that we can really show that it actually works in practice as well. And then if we get all of that, you know, then it's just kind of a matter of writing it down in a nice manner so that other people can benefit from it as well. And with the resources we currently have, I think it's you know, it's tricky to do both at the same time. Obviously, in the ideal world, we would do both at the same time.
Sure. So it's maybe the goal should be to get more people.
Yeah, that's always the tricky part. Lots of people have opinions, but in the end, you know, people that actually contribute stuff and regularly attend telecons, etc., that's normally a very, very small group.
Anyway, so maybe back to the pull request.
So I mean, can... like, you put forward that proposal about the Git book, right?
Yeah, I mean, as remembering that how you said that the specification should be also that's under W3C, so it probably requires some kind of formality, and you can't just put anything in there. I was hoping if it was some like a Git book, which was more as a, you know, free form collection of examples, small examples, and targeted, like, not so this is sort of like the use cases. So my first idea was to make the use cases actually, you know, published as a website somewhere, and this could be as simple as just probably making them starting with them, and then maybe keeping the use cases as the bigger pieces, and but also documenting small features. So if I have a template, what are the moving parts? So what do I do with the template, with the variables, with the mappings, and same with like how do I consume a link? And so it's something that would be more approachable to just anyone on the web who finds about Hydra, because currently the specification is incomplete. The use cases are, there are some, but as you said, they also serve more, maybe serve a bit more as the playground for us. What I feel people are trying to do, they see that Hydra has some of the features, they probably build like just, you know, cherry pick the features that they want. But even if they wanted to make like a partial Hydra client, partial Hydra server, they may still not have like the enough description of the individual pieces. So like I was saying, I constantly get back to the specification, and I try to figure out over and over what's with the templates and what's with the, and there's, or paging is virtually in in existing, right? And it's already been designed and signed off. So I guess paging and filtering, at least some of the basics. So we don't have the more elaborate examples with the more advanced use cases decided. Like what I remember what Ruben was discussing with like operators and stuff. But even if we did just the basic, so list of parameters and they're just unspecified on what the server does with them, but the minimal that you want to create a UI, there, we don't even have that, or at least not in a form that, you know, anyone who's never seen Hydra before can find useful. So, but I wouldn't, but at the same time, I wouldn't be putting this in the specification, maybe, right?
Yeah. So,
but like you say, if I'm to do this completely alone, I also don't have the time. So it would also have to be some kind of joint effort, like all of this, because none of us has enough power.
Like, do you think we could just take the use case documents, extend them, like make them maybe a bit more, you know, verbose and add a bit more prose, etc. And then render them on the homepage, like, you know, hydracg.com, so that they're more easily accessible.
I think that they're a start, and they could be accompanied by, like, detailed descriptions of, so that the use case gives, like, complete flow. So you, this is what the server gives you, this is what the client does, and also snippets of the pseudo client code, or maybe we can then replace it with actual Hydra Heracles code, so that it's, but it's also hard to keep in sync, right? But anything, and but also that you could have a link, right? Okay, so this uses the IRI template, and then you click the IRI template, and you have a more like full of examples. So if you have the IRI template that's like in this form, it does that. And if you add like the, I don't know, maybe the explicit and basic representations, so a bit more examples on that, right? So and we have a bit discussion of why you would want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but like you said, it's a chicken and egg problem, right? So who does the documentation so that people can actually read it, or as opposed to people want to read something but there isn't anything yet, so, or not enough. But I think we could start with just making the use cases something more like published. Currently, they're not. You have to know to go to the specification, to the repository, go to drafts, go to places. So like you said, it's not something very accessible.
So how about we put an action item on me, since it runs on my server, to render them on the homepage directly, and maybe an action item on you to come up with kind of a rough, just, you know, just a simple document or whatever works best for you, just a rough structure of how such a documentation should look like.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Carol, I saw you scribed a bit on IRC. Could you record those action items, please? Who's Carol?
Carol, you there?
Yeah, I'm typing.
Okay, cool. Thank you. By the way, does this all make sense to you, Carol? Do you want to add anything?
As far as I can remember, I think the use cases, or the primary objective of the use cases, was indeed to take a part in some kind of documentation. Yeah. This is the way I try to prepare those use cases. So that's why I've used the inputs and outputs and code templates or pseudocode examples just to give a hint to the consumer on how to use Hydra, because I had the same experiences as Tomasz said, bouncing between the spec and what I'm and my attempt to work with Hydra, and you know, lost somewhere in between.
Right. Okay, yeah, let's give it a try.
Okay, I've put the action points. Oh, sorry. By the way, can I have a question?
Sure.
Because I remember that Ruben was somehow interested in participating, but I think he never joined us or once or twice.
Yeah, I don't know either why he disappeared. He joined, mm-hmm. I think, in the beginning once or twice. He was actually one proposing Telecons.
Yeah.
Since then,
just a question, just because I don't know what happened to him.
I saw on LinkedIn that he became a professor recently. He might just have been very busy. I don't know.
It was a pleasure to meet him. Okay, dude. So from my perspective, as you already said, the time is an issue here for everyone of us, but still, by sacrificing a little bit of sleep, I can spend some time either on the client or the spec or the documentation. Question is what comes up with you, Marcos, what comes up with Tomasz, probably with Pavlik. Is it possible for four of us to make this happen? Or is it not enough? Shall we have some more contributors? I don't know. Just asking. It's my first kind of project, so I do not have any experience in this kind of stuff.
To give you one other data point with JSON-LD, for instance, we're kind of in a similar situation. There were also 4 or 5 people that contributed regularly.
Uh-huh.
Basically, 2 people that.
Okay. So, generally, it's doable.
It should be doable, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
You know,
from my side, I've invested too much time into this stuff, so I do not like the idea of giving up. So I'll try to put as much of my time as possible.
Yeah, same for me.
Okay, I think Tomasz mentioned about these IRI templates in his email, and I actually agreed with him. Shall we somehow discuss this matter, or? Because I don't think that the pull request is. I think that it's better to comment the pull request on the GitHub rather than to discuss it on the call.
Actually, there is one comment on the pull request regarding templates. Oh, what the hell? Something happened to reviewable. It's showing me one file at a time. Where do I click to see all of them?
I think there's a button at the top. There are too many files, so it just shows you one to not overload your browser.
All right. So let me just click my way through unanswered comments to get back to, yeah. Okay, so that's file Hydra client spec TS. line 120.
You have to tell me what's there because I'm just in my mobile, so I can't really.
Okay. So this is what you said. In the ideal world, we just give all the information to client.invoke, which would then put the right info in the body and template by itself. Unfortunately, Hydra specification doesn't allow that yet. Which I said, which part of the specification? So Hydra is currently signed on the meaning of IRI template parameters and their relationship to Hydra expects. So,
right. So what I meant with that is, you know, you have, for instance, something like create event or a create action, which takes an event and also is, you know, exposed on an IRI template. So there may be some parameters in the URL, and it also takes a body, like in a post request or in a put request. So it would be nice to specify how the expects, the body, the payload relates to the IRI template. Because I guess in most cases there's a very close relationship, or they are really kind of the same. It's just that the server decided to put some stuff in the URL instead of putting it into the body, or maybe it puts it in both places for optimizations, or, you know, just because the framework and the server works that way.
Okay, I guess that would be connected to the latest issue that I've recently submitted. Let me just get back to it, Hydra.
So, like, you know, when you create something, you normally put, I don't know, like if it's a book, the ISBN number or something as the identifier. And that could just as well appear in the payload in the expects as well. So it would be cool if the client wouldn't need to know where to put what, but just kind of give all the information that the client that the server wants, and then the client automatically figures out, oh, this needs to go in the body, this needs to go in the URL. And I just do that for the user.
Honestly, I think magical way can't really work. So what you say sounds kind of magical. But I think that there are probably two simple ways, like that it's easy to think of. One is that you just give it one model. So the expects, for example, so if it's a book, like you're saying, it has the ISBN property, and then the ISBN property is mapped to a variable on the template. So this is where issue 152 comes in, where I'm asking if the hypothetical client assumes that so whether the variable, it should accept the variables or the properties as the key value pairs for the template. If it's, I mean, like we were saying, either could work. And even if your JSON, if the expects has some additional non-URI keys, right, they will just be ignored when the server gets it. So even that can work. So you could potentially always just prepare a single JSON object. I guess that's something that I would have to write down because it's already there's a few concepts there. And the other thing is that the URL, the template could, the variable could be something completely unrelated to the actual body of the expects, right? I mean, to the actual structure. In which case, either, as I said, you can just put the variable string as the key in the JSON, and again, just have a single object as input to the operation invoke method. And the IRI template library just fills in and ignores anything else. And then you pass the expects to the server.
Do you have an example where the IRI template variables would be completely unrelated to the body?
I mean, not unrelated, not unrelated, but something that's, that doesn't actually belong to the body because the surface of the science, like just a separate input. For example, well, I remember it's probably just one example. If for the put or for the put post, you may have something like the slug, right? So if you want to influence what the actual URI looks like, it may not be something that's actually being part of the aspects of the body. But you still need the client to type it in so that it gets filled in the template. But it could just as well be a write-only property on the input, and it can work that way just fine. So that you just display, render it on the form together with anything else, pass it to the server, server ignores it, and you're done. So that's the high road. Just
that's exactly what I would like to understand a bit better, and I currently don't really have a good feeling for. But my intuition kind of tells me that they are always closely related. And thus, having two places or two ways to pass data to the client, you know, it's not really necessary, and introduces tight coupling that is unnecessary.
But what? Imagine a situation that you have an operation like a search, where you provide filter the query string within the Eerie template. It's not related to any kind of body.
Well, you could still say there is a search request, right? And it expects the data of a search request. There's just no payload because everything goes into the URL because it's a GET request.
Oh, this is actually kind of cool, because you can have the same payload. So it would be the same on the UI, so just render the form and make it a JSON object, and then either it will be only ever used to fill in the variables on the URL, on the query strings, or I mean not necessarily query strings, but on the URI. Or if you change the post, the exact same stuff would be just sent over the wire as the body. So you don't need to distinguish between them. The thing is that such a search request doesn't have the expects, so that there is no way to describe that, right? That you're actually building a JSON object, right? So this is something that we may be missing. I mean, it's as simple as iterating all the mappings and taking all the properties and these are your properties.
I mean, even the search request, even if there's a GET, we can still describe it with an operation and assessing the method to GET.
Well, but expects, but still with current vocabulary, expects doesn't make sense on a GET, on a GET operation. So either way, you have the template.
The way it is currently specified, I agree, but there is no reason we can't change that. Like, the design itself would work just as well, I think. And it would have the like additional benefit that the server can move stuff between the body and the URL pretty much, you know, at will, and clients would just keep on working. They wouldn't break. They would be much more flexible in that regard then.
Yeah, possibly. Although I probably wouldn't change the specification at this point. I mean, there's maybe that's not the reason. I would just say that for every the model, so the payload, the body, or so we'd have to call it model to distinguish it from the actual HTTP, whatever goes into the payload or the URI, but a model as in whatever goes to the operation invoke method, it has to contain all the keys from the combined keys from the properties from the mapping, the IRI mapping, and the expects if Yeah, so either or both of them, just combine them. It's, I don't think it's anything too hard. I mean, harder requirement. Because either way, you need to just somehow iterate them, present them to an UI, or just, I don't know, do some machine-to-machine stuff that you, right, that you have some data and then you put it to the client, you know, in some way, right? Basically key values.
Yeah, yes. The only problem is if you do that, you lose the you lose all the information about the relationship of the properties in the RI template to the body. Like, if I give you a Slug and an article, is it the Slug for that article? Is it Slug for the category that article appears in? Is it the Slug for the author of that article? You know, like, that's all, because all becomes ambiguous.
Okay, probably we need more examples, but don't the... Okay, I see. And the property isn't enough because the mappings is just, it's just a flat list and
exactly.
Can be more complex with the expects.
Yeah. Actually, I need to check, but like, I don't think in the specification we anywhere say that expects like has to risk, like, it's translated one-to-one to the like payload to the body in a post request. I think I left that door open when I wrote the spec, but I need to double check that. I think it just says something like the server expects this information. It doesn't say how the client should deliver that information.
Yeah, but I think that range of the expects predicate was Hydra class.
Right. So.
Hello.
So, like, that doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't mean it needs to go in the body.
Okay, I think Tomasz, just give up come with some examples maybe on the pull request. I think this is way too much to
I'll
single call.
Yeah, yes, maybe we should sketch out a few like examples and then see what works and what doesn't. I think it's much easier, as Carol just said, to do that on a pull request.
Okay.
Cool. Was there anything else? I think you mentioned three things in the beginning, Tomasz. What was the third one?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I don't think anything. I don't have anything else. No.
Did we cover all three of them?
Did I say three? I think I meant that the third one was the pull request.
The other two are the
templates and...
Oh, the templates, okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else, Carol, you would like to discuss?
No, not really, I think. Not for now.
Okay. Cool. Then I will try to get that stuff, like the use cases, being rendered on the homepage. And Tomasz will provide the rough structure of where we want to take this. And Carol, I guess you will...
Yeah, I'll try to have this pull request close as soon as possible.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm. Goody, goody.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, thank you, Marcus.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.